Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the bottom line of Daf Tes Omid Beis. The Gemara here quotes from the source that we learned earlier, Omar Mar. This is a quote from the source that you see in the frame just above this, that we learned at the end of our previous shiur. This quote deals with the tinokes, a young girl, shelohi giyas mano lirois. She is not of age yet where she would be expected to have a monthly cycle of blood sightings characteristic of females. So we're dealing with a young girl like that. And the quote says, Omar Mar, avru aleha shalosh oinois. In the source itself, there was a description of this girl who had been young, as we said, before the age of expecting to see a cycle, but she had seen three times blood. At the third time, we said she experiences the me'eis leis, or the retroactive treatment of tumah, meaning that since she's seen blood three times, it indicates to us that she can be expected to see blood, and hence she will be treated like other women. And we, as we know, other women who have a blood sighting, there is a retroactive tumah that is applied. The source went on to tell us what this quote says, that then three time periods went by, three periods of 30 days, let's say, based on our definition of Ona in our previous year. So three 30-day periods went by, thereby restoring her to her original status of being Lo Higiyas Mano Lirois. And we say that after the three time periods went by, the three Onos went by, the source says, Daya Shaita, no retroactive tumah, rather she's tumea just from the sighting onwards. Now, the Gemara continues on the top of Daf Yud. Hodar Kochazia Ba'oinois Mai. After this sighting that transpired after a gap of three oinois, and we said there was the sighting at the end of that 90-day period, which we said Daya Shaita. Now, 30 days go by, and one more Ona goes by, and she sees again. That's what the Gemara is asking here at the top of Daf Yud. Hodar Kochazi Va'oinois Mai. After that first sighting, post three Ona gap, she had a second sighting after 30 days. What is the din with regard to that sighting? Omar Rav Gittel, Omar Rav, Pam Rishoina Ushnia Daya Shaita. Rav Gittel answers that the first sighting after the gap and the second sighting that we were just asking about, those Daya Shaita. However, a third sighting, Metama Me'es Le'es Umibkida Libkida, will result in retroactive tumah. Here we have, again, a quote from the source on Tes Amid Beis that described the girl that had three sightings, then a period of three onos went by without sightings, and she had a sighting, but in the source it described, in describing that situation, it said that then, after that sighting, after the gap of three onos, there was another gap of three onos. And that's what this is a quote from. It says, V'oid obru alah shalosh onos v'ra'asa dayo shaita. The Gemara is asking now, Hodar kochazia ba'onos mai. What happens if she sees after that second three ona gap, she sees 30 days later a second sighting? Omarav kana omarav gidol omarav pam rishoino dayo shaita. The first sighting, as we indicated earlier, she will be treated without retroactive tumah. However, shnia metama meisleis umipkida lebekida. But after the a 30-day gap there and a second sighting after that second large gap does result in retroactive tumah. The assumption right now is that this girl has established herself after two 90-day gap periods of no blood sighting, has established herself as someone who does see blood, even though she's young. She's established herself as one who sees blood on a regular basis. And how is it so that after two gaps and sightings does this come to be? Well, Moni Rebbe Hi. This is in accordance with Rebbe, the Omar Betrei Zimni Havi Chazoka. That with those two hafsokos of three onos, she establishes herself as creating a status of one who sees blood. So at this point, we're saying the authorship of the source at the bottom of Tess Amud Beis is in accordance with Rebbe. Amos Seifa. Now we're going to look at the Seifa of that source, which featured a girl, Higia Zmana Lirois. She reached 12 years of age. And if we look back at the source, we notice there, the source told us that of the first sighting she has when she reaches the age, that's Daya Shaita. The second sighting results in retroactive tuma that we would associate with other women. In that source, it also said that if three onos go by, then she goes back to being Daya Shaita, no retroactive tuma. So, regarding that case, the Gemara quotes the Seifa, Ovru Aleha Sholosh Onos V'Rasa Dayo Shaita. With the passage of three Onos of not seeing blood, we say no retroactive Tumah for that particular sighting. Well, that din of three Onos going by and saying that makes her Daya Shaita, Ason the Rebbe Eliezer. That works out like the Tano Rebbe Eliezer. So the structure of the source then comes out that the Reisha seems to be authored by Rebbe, and the Seifa seems to be authored by a different Tano, even though there's no name transition in the source itself. And that's a difficult position to be in. Vechitema, and if you say Rebbe he, that the source is in accordance with Rebbe Uva Onos Sovar Lo Karebi Eliezer, and with regard to Onos, meaning a gap of three Onos restores her to a Daya Shaito status, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Eliezer, that the passage of three Onos results in Daya Shaito for all women, will mean Sovar Lo, but is it so that Rebbe in fact holds like Rebbe Eliezer? V'holi achar shenizkar komar. We saw in a previous Gemara that, and you might note that we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it says Tess Amud Beis. If you go back to Tess Amud Beis, you'll see a corresponding arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text with a Yud Amud Aleph indicator, which shows you a source in which Rebbe was only as a second thought or an afterthought, he said, I can rely on Rebbe Eliezer. But it's not the way he would ordinarily paskin. Rebbe is not a subscriber, lechatchila, to Rebbe Eliezer's approach. So to say that our source, the source at the bottom of Tesalman Beis is in accordance with Rebbe, but he holds like Rebbe Eliezer with regard to the din of Gimel Onos, that we cannot say, Elo, Rebbe Eliezer he. Rather, the source is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer, Ubevestos Sovar Lo Karebi, and with regard to Vestos, the establishment of a fixed cycle of sightings, which is known as Veses, in with regard to that, Rebbe Eliezer holds like Rebbe that two times is enough to set a precedent. Before continuing in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Kesem, a bloodstain, b'tinoikes shelo higia zmano, with regard to the young girl who's of an age where we wouldn't expect her to see blood. This is the girl that we opened up today's shiur discussing. So here, the Gemara focuses on a stain found on her clothing. Kesem, so shebein rishona ushnia, between the first sighting and the second sighting, tohor, that will not result in ritual defilement, in being metameher. Shebein shnia ushlishis, a stain found after the second, but before a third sighting of blood. Here we have a machloikis. Chizkio amar tome. Chizkio will ascribe that blood is coming from her, and hence declare her tomea. And Rabbi Yochanan omar tohor. Chizkio amar tome. Why? Why does he view this blood stain after the second sighting as a basis of tuma? So he explains, Kevon de Ilu Chazio, if she were to see an actual blood flow, a third blood flow from her body, mitamo, that would result in retroactive tuma. In other words, in viewing her as a regular woman with the standard laws applied to her, kismonami tome, this blood stain that appears after the second sighting can be viewed, so to speak, as if it's a third sighting, insofar as us treating it with severity and being metamaher. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Tohor. Rabbi Yochanan says that the stain after a second sighting of blood with regard to this girl is not tome. Kevon delo is chazko bedam, since she hasn't gained a status of seeing blood, kismo nami lo metaminon lo. The blood stain on her garment also will not be a basis for being metamaher. If we look at the Rashi at the very bottom, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Tohor, Kevon Delo Ischasko Bedam, Klomar, Kozman Shelo Nohagnu Bo Adayin Toras Muchsekis Bedomim, Litamo Limafreya, as long as we don't treat her as we would a regular woman to impose retroactive Tumah, Lo Gozru Al Kismo, so they didn't impose the rabbinic stringency regarding stains. The Gemara now at the top of Yud Amud Beis continues. Maskif lo Rav Eloi. Rav Eloi asks on Chizkiya. V'chima bein zu lebesula shedomeha torin. What is different? Why should we treat this girl, the ktana shelo higia zmano lirois, any differently than we would a besula whose blood is viewed as tohor? Now, Bsula is a reference to a girl who just got married and experienced her first act of intimacy. So there is an approach to the Bsula that we say blood that comes from her until the internal natural injury that results from the first act of intimacy heals. So all blood that comes from her is viewed as tohor. We ascribe it to injury, so to speak, the bruise, as opposed to blood coming from the standard source of tomate blood in her body. So we know that with regard to the basula, as long as we are viewing her dam her blood as tahor, we say there is no din of kesem. So too, with regard to this girl who's had only two blood sightings, we don't view her as a regular woman yet. So why is it that you do view her blood, her kesem, that is her stain, as tomei? Omar le Rabbi Zera. The Gemara continues on the second line from the top. Rabbi Zera answers, Zu sirfa motsui. The word sirfa is here a borrowed expression. Literally, the word sirfa is from the word sraf, which is associated with a sap from a tree. But here, as we say, it's a borrowed expression. And that is that in the case of the besula, her sirfa, the blood of the besulim. Besulim is that fine membrane of skin that is ripped during the first act of intimacy. So that bruise is still oozing forth with blood, and that's not a source of tumah. So in the case of the besula, there is an active source or basis of a ruling tahara. Vizu, but the young girl who is simply experiencing, who experienced two blood releases, doesn't have that benefit. Zu ein sirfa motsui. There is nothing to ascribe, no alternative source of blood to ascribe the stain on. And therefore, Chizkiah will tell you that after a second blood sighting that this ketana has, the stain will be treated as tomei. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoi Tzadok. Tinoikis shelo higiyaz mana lirois, veroasa, pam rishona ushnia. A young girl who hasn't reached the time that you would expect her to have a blood sighting, and she did. She had one and two blood sightings in the past, and we don't know for sure right now that she is a nida. All we know is that this girl experienced two blood sightings. Roika umidrasa bashuk tohar. Roika is her saliva or spit, and midrasa would be things that she sat on in the shuk. If you find, let's say, her spit in the shuk, it will be tohar. And by the way, this is a departure from the way we deal with doubtful roke in general. Doubtful roke, sofek roikin, we treat with severity, but with regard to this young girl, we will not. Kisma nami tohar. And then there's an additional comment that is made here, where Ula quotes Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Sadak, and this additional comment is added that her stains are also tohar. We're talking, once again, after she had two blood sightings. Any staining on her garment is tohar. The lo yodana, Ula tells us, Ula was quoting these, he was quoting just before Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Shimon Sadok. He says, I don't know, im dide im derave, if this last comment of kisma nami tohar is Rabbi Yochanan's own comment, or it is something that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok. Lamai nafkamina. What difference does it make to us whether it's Rabbi Yochanan on his own or it's something he's quoting in the name of his Rav? So the answer is Lamehve Dvorov Shel Echo Bemokom Shnayim. Chizkiah took a position on this matter of the Kesem. He said that the Kesem is Tomei after her second sighting. Is Chizkiah's point of view the point of view of an individual up against one opinion, namely up against Rabbi Yochanan, who we saw was his bar plukta? This is what we saw at the bottom of Yud Omen Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan was arguing on Chizkiah. So is Ula going against a singular opinion, or is he going up two opinions? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is not just something that he says on his own, but it's also something that his Rav says as well. And we say that the importance of knowing who said Kisma nami tohar over here has bearing on Chizkiah. Is Chizkiah basically one against one, or is he one against two? Ki also Ravin, v'chol nechusi yama, when Ravin arrived and all of the seafarers came, amruha, they said that this din of kisman amitor ki Rav Shimon ben Yehotzalak, that this is something that Rav Shimon ben Yehotzalak also said, resulting in Chizkio being one against two. Chizkio's opinion saying that the kesem is tame is going up against the opinions of both Reb Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzalak, of course making Chizkio a weaker position. Before we go further in the Gemara, as we scan ahead, you notice the diamonds appear. These are explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Tinoikis is featured in the diamond. In the Gemara, this represents Shnei Shlavim, two stages, Bahavonas Divrei Rav Chukia, in trying to understand what Rav Chukia will tell us. But Tinoikis Shalagiyaz Mano, a girl who is young, who hasn't reached the age that you would expect her to see blood, the Shofas Dam Zayin Yomim, and over a period of 7 days, this young girl is experiencing a blood flow. The Gemara, Omar Rav Chukia Bar Tuvi, Tinoikis Shelo Higia Zmano Lirois, Afilu Shofas Kol Zayin, Eino Elo Re'iyo Achas. Even if she is experiencing a blood flow over 7 days, it is viewed as only one. Just to go over a point we've been dealing with quite a bit very recently, this is a young girl, and we did say, however, that if she has three sightings, we will then view her as a regular woman and impose a retroactive tumah that we call me'es le'es. However, Rav Chukia is telling us that if she has a blood flow over 7 days, it's viewed as only one sighting. The Gemara now asks on this comment of Rav Chukia, afilu shofas, even a continuous flow velo mibaya posekes, and posekes means with stops in it, with breaks in it, as opposed to a continuous flow. Are you telling me that even shofas, even a continuous flow over 7 days, is viewed as one, and it's even more obvious that that multiple blood sightings with gaps in it will certainly be viewed as one sighting? Adarabo, to the contrary. Posekes havyolo kishtei riyos. If there are gaps in her sighting, it would be viewed as multiple riyos, and that would lead to us ruling that a subsequent blood sighting would be with retroactive tumah. So why does Rav Chukia here express his din as saying that even if it's a continuous blood flow, not even if, Elo, the Gemara goes on, Tinokes Shalagiyaz Mano Liros V'Shofas Kol Zayin, a young girl who didn't reach the age of one would expect to see blood, and she has a continuous flow over 7 days, Eino Elo Re'iyo Achas. Notice, without the word Afilu, it's taken out of this stage of presentation, so that a tinokus that has a continuous flow, it's considered one long flow. But if there was a hefsik, if there was a gap during this period of time, then it would be viewed as multiple riyos, bringing her all the closer to the point at which we would then view her as a regular woman with retroactive tuma. Omar Rav Simi Bar Chia, Madlefes Eino Keroya. So now we have Rav Simi making a comment, and here we have double underlined the different stages in trying to understand what he says. So he says at this point that a madlefis is a blood that flows from her in a drip after drip fashion, dripping fashion, we'll say. So the first stage has him saying that it's not considered a sighting. The Gemara asks, what do you mean it's not considered a sighting? She sees, but she sees blood. Emo, rather say, Eino kishoifas, Ela kiposekes. Madlefes, drip after drip, is not considered a flow, but it's considered a sighting with gaps. Well, if drop after drop is not considered a flow, then michlal de shofas, are we to understand that the word shofas ki nahara is like a river? In other words, it's a constant stream of blood coming out? And that can't be. A person wouldn't be able to live, certainly not over 7 days of a constant stream of blood coming out. Elo Emo, third stage, and trying to understand what he says, that he says madlefes is eno elo kishofas, that the drip after drip is essentially what shofas means. When we speak about a flow, it's not a constant flow, but it's a constant dripping, if you will. So even though there may be a lot of blood loss, but it wouldn't be something that a person could not live with. Tonu Rabbanan. You notice that the next few lines are in a frame. We have a Tanaic source here. Chazoka benois Yisrael ad shelo higiu lepirkan harehein becheskas tahara. Young girls, before they get to the age of maturity, higiu lepirkan, age of maturity, where the blood cycle starts. So they are considered tahara. That means that any food that they touch will be considered as being remaining tahor. V'ein hanoshim boikos oison, and there is no need for other women to check them. Mishigiu lepirkan, once they reach their age, the age of maturity, the age of puberty, where the blood cycle starts, hare hein becheskas tuma. That means that they are assumed to have blood sightings. V'noshim bodkos oson, and as a result of assuming that they will have blood sightings, they must undergo checking. In other words, before they, let us say, want to handle truma, so they would need to be checked out. And there's also the concept of a morning and evening checking as a standard fare with regard to women, so as to ensure the tahara of things that they handled during the previous 12 hours. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein boitkin oison biyad, b'nei sheme avsois oison. The checking should not be done by the insertion of, let us say, literally a hand or a finger into the body, because that could lead to scratching and create a flow of blood, and which would be we'll call it unfairly metame them. Elo sachos oison b'shemen mibufnim. Rather, there's an internal smearing of oil. Umekanchos oison mibachutz. And then an external wiping. V'hein nivdachos melein. This would be literally an automatic checking. But the idea here is that the oil insertion or smearing will bring out, will cause any blood that may be internal to exit, and one can easily discover it without causing any bruising. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Mu'uberes, V'chulei. Back in the Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, we saw Rabbi Yossi, who said that a Mu'uberes Menika, a pregnant woman or nursing woman, She'ovru Alein Sholosh Oinos, that three Onos went by and they didn't see blood, Dayon Shaiton. Then any subsequent sighting, or the subsequent sighting, would result in Tuma without any retroactive Tuma. So we continue now in the Gemara. Toni Tano Kamei de Rabbi Lozer. Following Tanaic source was stated in the presence of Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Mu'uberes Umenika, She'ovru Aleo Sholosh Oinois, Dayo Shaita. Omar Lei, Rabbi Lozer, upon hearing this presentation, asked, Posachta Betray, you opened up the source describing two kinds of women, Mu'uberes, pregnant, and Menika, nursing. The Siamto Bechado, but in the closing part of this source, you said Dayoshaito, that's in the singular, and you should have said, if you're referring to two kinds of women, you should have said Dayon Shaiton in the plural. So now you didn't say that. And here we should note that we're about to start a long point in the Gemara, or we've started a long point, and this is indicated by the nun that appears to the right hand, immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines form the point. So Rebbe Elazar says, you in opening with two and then closing with one, maybe Dilma Mu'uberes Vihi Menika Ko'amris. Maybe you are describing a woman that goes through a transition from a woman who happens to be nursing and becomes pregnant, or vice versa, as we'll see later in the source, in the Gemara. Umilsa agav urchei komashmalan, and by featuring basically one woman, a woman who is who was nursing and became pregnant, you are in fact telling us something by the way, namely demei ibura oilin la limei menikusa, that if you have a woman that was nursing and she became pregnant, and during the nursing period there was a stoppage of blood for part of when we're dealing with the stoppage of three onos, so part of the three was during the nursing, and the balance of it was during her pregnancy. Likewise, vimei minikusa oilin la limei ibura, where she had been pregnant, and then, let's say, gave birth, and continued now nursing, the onos of non-blood sighting during the pregnancy would be completed by the onos of non-sighting during the nursing period, and then we would have a total of three onos by joining together the onos of the menik of the yenika period and the onus of the onus of the ibura period, for a total of three onos, and then any subsequent sighting would be non-retroactive, would be tumo, we call dayoshaita kidesanya. And this is illustrated in the following source. Yemei ibura oilin lo limei minikusa. That means that she started off nursing and then became pregnant. Or, limei minikusa oilin lo limei ibura. She was pregnant and then gave birth and then continued nursing. The onos that go by, part of them in one state and the other in her other state, join up to form a total of three onos. Ketzad, now illustrations. Hifsiko shtayim bimei ibura, she missed two onos of blood sighting, namely two onos went by without any blood sighting, while she was pregnant. And then she gave birth, and she started to nurse. Viachas, and the third ono, bimei minikusa. So you have a total of three onos that went by without any blood sighting. Or another case, shtayim bimei minikusa vachas bimei bura. Two onos went by during a nursing period and one during pregnancy. Achas umechso bimei bura vachas umechso bimei minikusa. 45 days went by without any blood sighting while she was pregnant, and another 45 days, 1.5 oinos, while she was nursing. Mitstarfos legimel onos. So they join up to form the required three onos in order for us to then apply the rule of dayoshaita to a subsequent blood sighting. So this is all a point that Rebbe Elazar was making to the Tana, in order to resolve the seeming discrepancy between featuring two women and then ending off in the singular. Rebbe Elazar is basically saying you're not featuring two separate cases, Mu'uberes and Menika, but rather a Mu'uberes who continued to be a Menika. Here the Gemara asks, regarding the two examples, Bishlamo yemei ibura oilin lo limei minikusa, the idea of the time of pregnancy completing the onos during the time of nursing that mishkach. So that comes about. The komeniko, the also, she's nursing, and in the middle of her nursing, umi abro, she then becomes pregnant. So you'll have a point in time where she was, this one woman was nursing and then lapsed into pregnancy. And there was three onos altogether without any blood. Ela yamei minikusa oilin lo limei ibura heichi mishkachas lo. In describing this case, what are we describing? A woman who had been pregnant, gave birth, and continued now nursing. How can you have a 90-day period where there is a birth in the middle and she doesn't experience any blood flow? How can you have birth without blood? So you can't describe her as 90 days without blood. Well, one explanation is that there was birth. It's very rare, but it was blood. The child was delivered without any blood flow coming from the mother. So that she went from a state of pregnancy without blood and lapsed into nursing, continuing also for the balance of the 90 days without blood. And in the interim, there was no blood because it was a lady of Eshta. A second answer, Viboy Seimo, there was blood. However, Dam Nido Lechud, Vidam Leido Lechud. The laws concerning or the approach to the menstrual blood is different than the approach to birth blood. So we can, even though there was blood, but it was birth blood. And hence we can still describe her as having 90 days of no nida blood. V'iboy seimo tini chado. And the third approach is the approach that we seem to take before when we were learning Rebbe Lozar, that we're only talking about one woman, whereas we're talking about one case, namely she was a nursing woman that then became pregnant. And with that, we don't have the problem of the birth in the middle. So the Iboy Seimo Toni Chado is basically saying take the source above and just teach one of the two examples. Now in our source we had listed Roman numerals 1 and 2. This answer, Toni Chado, means just teach one of those two cases, specifically the case of the Menika who became pregnant. That in our source above would be the Roman numeral number 1 case. She was nursing and then became pregnant. The Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis mentioned Bameh Omru Dayo Shaita, the concept of Tumah without retroactive implications. That was, as the Mishnah says, that's the first sighting after the three onos went by. But a second sighting would restore the woman to a me'es le'es status with retroactive tumah. Omar Rav, ah kulhu. Kulhu means regarding all of them. All of them are the four types of women featured in the Mishnah that we said there would be daya shaita, the b'su, muberes, menika, and the zakena. So with regard to all of them, Rav tells us that the Mishnah that mentioned Re'iyo Shnia, there will be Tumah Me'es Leis, that will apply to all four of those women. Shmuel Omar, Lo Shonu Elo Besula Zakena. The din of her going back to retroactive Tumah is applicable only to the cases of the Besula and the Zakena. Ava Mu'uberes Umenika. But a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing. Dayon kol yamei ibur. Dayon means dayon shaitan. That there will be no retroactive tumah throughout the pregnancy period. Dayon kol yamei menikusan. And there will be no retroactive tumah even if there is a second and third and additional sightings beyond that first post-gap sighting. Post-gap, we mean after the passage of three onos. But so Shmuel tells us that with regard to the Muberes and Menika, they will always have the benefit of Dayan Shaiton throughout their respective periods of Muberes or Menika. The Chein Omer of Shimon ben Lakish, Akulhu. Shimon ben Lakish goes like Rav, that all four women will be restored to the din of Tumah Lemafreya after that first or initial sighting, after the 90-day gap. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Yishanu Ella Pesula Zekena, and Rabbi Yochanan reflects Shmuel's approach that the din of Re'iyo Shnia going back to Meis Leis applies only to the Pesula and the Zekena. Avo Meuberes Umeniko Dayon Kol Yemei Iburon Dayon Kol Yemei Menikusan Kitanoi. What we just have learned as a Machlokis Amorayim turns out to be a Tanaic controversy as well. And we have a source that begins here and goes to the top of Yud Aleph Amad Aleph. The source says, Mu'uberes Umeniko Shehoyu Shofos Damubos. We're now at the top of Daf Yud Aleph Amad Aleph. Shofos Damubos, Rashi explains, as Lav Davda means an actual continuous flow of Dam, but we're talking about a Mu'uberes Umeniko that started seeing blood on an ongoing basis. Dayon kol yemei iburon, v'dayon kol yemei minikusan divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir then goes like the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan that we saw earlier, and we paralleled Rabbi Yochanan with Shmuel as well. So that's seen in the Tanaic form of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Lo Amru, Dayan Shaitan, El Briyo Rishona. The luxury of no retroactive Tumah applies only to the first sighting, Avol Bishnia, but with regard to the second sighting, Metame Sleis, Mkubikita, there will be retroactive Tumah, including the Mu'uberes and the Menika, showing that the Machlokis Amoroim is in fact a Machlokis Tanoim as well. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.